The Web That Has No Weaver, Understanding Chinese Medicine, page 105. Chapter 4, The Meridians, The Warp and Woof, and on Acupuncture and Herbology. The word meridians, as used in East Asian medicine, came into the English language through a French translation of the Chinese term Jing Luo. Jing means to go through or a thread in a fabric. Luo means something that can connect or attaches, or a net. And meridians are the channels or pathways that carry qi and blood through the body. They are not blood vessels. Rather, they comprise an invisible lattice that links together all the fundamental textures and organs. In Chinese meridian theory, these channels are unseen but are thought to embody a kind of information network. The qi and blood move along them, and the therapeutic system is conceptually organized through the details of its design. Because the meridian system unifies all the parts of the body, it is essential for the maintenance of harmonious balance. The Neijing says, the meridians move the qi and blood, regulate yin and yang, moisten the tendons and bones, benefit the joints. The meridians connect the interior of the body with the exterior. As has been said earlier, the distinction between inner and outer has more to do with significance than with the place. The interior is more important than the exterior. This is the basis of acupuncture theory, that working with the points on the surface of the body will affect what goes on inside the body because it affects the activity of the textures that are traveling through the meridians. Every Chinese physician must have a complete grasp of the meridian system. Most acupuncture points relate to the meridians, and most herbs a doctor prescribes are thought to enter one or more of the meridian pathways. The meridian system is made up of 12 regular meridians that correspond to each of the 5 yin and 6 yang organs, and to the pericardium, which for the purpose of meridian theory is an independent organ. These are sometimes called Jing meridians. There are also 8 extra meridians, only 2 of which, the governing vessel and the conception vessel, are considered major meridians. This is because they have independent points that are not also on any of the 12 regular meridians. The paths of the other six extra meridians intersect with these 12 meridians and have no independent points of their own. There are also many small, finer, net-like minor meridians called lower meridians. The 12 regular meridians, along with the governing and conception meridians, are the 14 major meridians. They and the minor meridians are the warp and woof of the body. A great number of books on meridian theory have been published in European languages as a result of the Western interest in acupuncture. This chapter, therefore, will deal with meridian theory only as it pertains to Chinese medical knowledge as a whole, for its use in explaining patterns of disharmony. Meridian theory assumes that disorder within the meridian generated derangement in the pathway and creates disharmony along the meridian, or that such derangement is a result of a disharmony of the meridian's connecting organ. A disorder in the stomach meridian, for example, may cause upper toothache because meridian passes through the upper gums, while lower toothache may be the result of the disorder of the large intestine meridian. Pain in the groin may as easily result from a liver meridian disorder as from a disorder of the liver itself. Disharmony in an organ may manifest themselves in the corresponding meridians. For instance, pain along the heart meridian may reflect congealed blood or stagnant qi in the heart. Excess fire in the liver may follow the meridian and generate redness in the eyes. An understanding of the interconnections between fundamental textures, organs, and meridians informs the practices of acupuncture and herbology. These are the two main forms of treatment used in Chinese medicine, and meridian theory allows the physician to apply them to particular patients. The goal of all treatment method in Chinese medicine is to rebalance those aspects of the body's yin and yang whose harmonious proportion and movement have become disordered. Agitated activity, for instance, as in the case of inappropriate anger, such as that characterized by excessive liver activity, must be calmed. Insufficient activity, say of the kidney yang, must be tonified to avoid lack of sexual energy. Substances that accumulate inappropriately must be drained, as is done to correct an excess of fluids in the abdomen. If there is not enough qi in the lungs, it must be replenished so that the patient does not continually catch cold. Movement must also go in the proper direction. If the qi of the spleen descends, causing chronic diarrhea, it must be lifted. If the qi of the stomach ascends, causing nausea, it must be sent down. Stagnant qi must be moved. Reckless movement of the blood must be stabilized. Too much cold in the kidneys must be warmed. Extra fire in the lungs must be cooled. Whatever is out of balance must be rebalanced. The complementary aspect of yin and yang must be harmonious. The basic idea behind acupuncture, considered a yang treatment because it moves from the exterior to the interior, is that the insertion of very fine needles into points along the meridians can rebalance bodily disharmonies. A related technique, moxibustion, entails the application of heat from certain burning substances at the acupuncture points. The primary moxa, or heating substance, is mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris. The action of the needles or of moxibustion affects the qi and blood in the meridians, thus affecting all the fundamental textures and organs. The needles can reduce what is excessive, increase what is deficient, warm what is cold, cool what is hot, circulate what is stagnant, move what is congealed, stabilize what is reckless, raise what is falling, and lower what is rising. Classical theory recognizes about 365 acupuncture points on the surface meridians of the body. With the inclusion of miscellaneous points and new points used in ER acupuncture and other recent methods, the total universe has risen to at least 2,000 points for possible use. In practice, however, a typical doctor's repertoire might be only 150 points. In contemporary texts, point location is generally based on modern anatomy. For example, a manual produced by the Academy of Traditional Chinese Medicine in 1975 describes the location of a common point as at the lateral side, above the transverse popliteal crease between the musculus vastus laterally and musculus biceps femoris. Classical texts, which do not reflect an interest in detailed anatomy, refer to that same point as a place where the tip of the middle finger naturally touches the thigh when the patient is standing. The classical literature locates other points by means of easily defined, yet precise, bodily landmarks such as creases, bony prominence, hairlines, and places where the skin changes in color and textural quality. Each acupuncture point has a defined therapeutic action. Each unique acupuncture point embodies a particular quality of qi that can resonate with the disharmony and elicit a return to health. The physician chooses to work on those points that are most appropriate for treating a particular individual's pattern of disharmony. Rarely are acupuncture points used singly. A combination of points is usually chosen. A typical treatment entails the insertion of 5 to 15 needles. Acupuncture needles were originally made of bronze or possibly copper, tin, gold, or silver. In earlier periods, they may have been bone, horn, or silvers or bamboo, gold, or silver. They are now made of stainless steel, are of hair-like thinness, and produce relatively little pain when inserted. The depth to which the needle penetrates depends on the particular points. Needles are inserted only a millimeter or two at the finger points, but they may be placed up to 3 or 4 inches deep at the buttock points. The initial modern interest in acupuncture concerned pain relief and its potential use as an analgesia and an aesthetic technique. As a result, Western interest has been aimed disproportionately at applying acupuncture to pain control. A number of theories have been developed to explain the mechanism of pain relief achieved through acupuncture. The gate theory, for example, suggests that stimulation from the needles jams the lower nerve bundles in the central nervous system so that other pain signals, for example, those from an incision, cannot reach the brain. This can be envisioned by imaging a telephone system in a major city. If too many individual lines are in use, it is difficult for caller to get into the trunk lines and make a connection. Another theory of acupuncture anesthesia suggests that the insertion of the acupuncture needles may stimulate the release of endorphins, a class of opiates naturally produced within the brain. These substances are potent painkillers and could explain some of the pain-reducing properties of acupuncture. These preliminary findings and theories will generate further important research into the physiological mechanisms of acupuncture and its possible place in biomedicine. But these tentative theories are only of partial value because they isolate one of acupuncture's uses and ignore its many other potential clinical applications. While acupuncture has become well known in the West, its clinical partner, Chinese herbology, is still relatively unknown. This has led to the widespread misconception that acupuncture constitutes all of Chinese medicine. In fact, the knowledge of herbs is central to Chinese medicine. During the last 2 million millennia, many more books have been devoted to herbology than acupuncture. While Chinese physicians tend to practice both medical techniques, physicians who practice only with herbs are more numerous than those who practice only with acupuncture. The body of knowledge of Chinese herbology has been preserved in a great succession of pharmacopoeias and clinical manuals, a tradition that began during the early Han Dynasty. The pharmacopoeias are vast catalogs of medicinal substances with therapeutic value. For example, a pharmacopoeia produced by the famous physician Li Shizhen, posthumously printed in 1596, included 1,892 entries. Of these, 1,173 were botanical ingredients, 444 were zoological ingredients, and 275 were derived from minerals. A recent Chinese pharmacopoeia is a massive compilation of 5,767 entries. The substances commonly used in the Chinese Materia Medica span a great range of materials, from well-known herbs and minerals such as ephedra and gypsum to strange animal products such as gallstones of cow or dried skin secretion of a particular toad. Traditional pharmacopoeias usually define each entry in terms of how the various herbs evoke the fundamental textures and affect specific complaints. The 20th century pharmacopoeia also describe how the substances are understood in terms of modern pharmacology, citing active compounds, detectable biochemical effects on microorganisms, animals, and humans, and toxicity. After distinguishing a particular pattern of disharmony in a patient, the practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine usually chooses a prescription from a repertoire of some thousand common classical prescriptions that can rebalance various disharmonies. These prescriptions are learned from the great clinical manuals that exist alongside the pharmacopoeias. The formulas are coordinated matrices that can resonate with various imbalances and elicit health. Thus, the physician is armed with knowledge that has been tested over the past centuries of Chinese medical history. Herbs are seldom used singly. They are usually combined in prescriptions containing 5 to 15 substances. The dosages average 3 to 15 grams per herb. Most commonly, herbs are decocted into a drink, but pills, powders, tinctures, and poultices are also widely used. Because every patient's body is unique, the physician begins with a general prescription as delineated in the classical text, and then adjusts the mixture to the patient by adding or deleting various herbs or by manipulating the dosages of the compounds to fit the precise disharmony. Together, acupuncture and herbology constitute the basic therapeutic modalities the Chinese physician uses to restore balance in the body. Other important oriental techniques, massage, lifestyle activities, exercise regimes, also use the meridians. All are thought to have therapeutic access to the body through the meridians. The pathways of these meridians are illustrated in Figure 3 through 16, which depict both the channels within the body and the external pathways along which the acupuncture points are located. The general reader is invited to just glance at the pictures. Attention to details is unnecessary to comprehend the rest of the book.